Welcome to Alex Collier's second webinar in 2016. Today's topics will be the current status of the world, the global financial changes, the solar system updates, and more. The last third of the webinar will be a question and answer session. So have your notepad at the ready, be seated comfortably, and enjoy today's webinar. Here's your host, JP.
Good afternoon. Today's webinar is coming from a deliciously Springfield, Colorado, with our dear friend Alex Collier on his brand new, and we have to say thank you to those who have contributed to Alex's brand new computer. You will see how spiffy it is. It's got a really nice picture, and you're going to enjoy this webinar. So over to you, Alex, and I'm going to back right up.
Hello, people. Hello, folks. Thank you for attending. I want to give a shout out to Bourne, to Candace, to Sharon, and Tiju, if I'm saying it right. Thank you for your help and your support. We have a lot to talk about today, and I just want to say thank you very much for supporting this project, the webinars, because without it, it just wouldn't happen without your support, and I am so incredibly grateful. And I'll be sending out thank you cards very soon to those, and hopefully your addresses are correct. And okay, so without further ado, so let's get into some things here. Current stat on the financial situations, and we've talked about this briefly in other webinars regarding currencies, currency revaluations, the new Basel III global currency system, etc., asset-backed currencies. For those of you who are following this or who have invested in this, as of yesterday, to my knowledge, I think it was yesterday, the Zimbabwe dollar began trading internationally. You can check it on Z or the Forex or Awanda, and it is currently trading at 0.0026 or 28. It bounces between those two. And if you had a $100 trillion note and you dropped the six zeros, it would be $100 million. And at that particular rate of 2/8 of a cent, one of those $100 million Zimbabwe notes would be worth $310,248. So, but I don't know that we can exchange it yet. But it is, in fact, trading internationally. And if you have the currency screens, you are able to watch those things exchange. So there is movement for those of you who can participate in this or, you know, foresaw these changes coming. I don't know about the rest just as of yet, okay? But at least there's movement on one front. So that's important. There'll be more changes on those things. Remember that there is an enormous amount of political mechanisms going on behind all of this. As the U.S. dollar loses its supremacy as a world reserve currency, or the world reserve currency, there's going to be quite a bit of kicking and screaming. And, if our politicians and our central bank had not completely abused their power, things may be different. Maybe they wouldn't be. But the fact is they did abuse their power, and this is kind of where we find ourselves. With everything changing and a leveling of the playing field, which should absolutely happen. And anyway, there's plenty of information on that. I just wanted to share that information with you folks, because I know that there are some who are curious about that and have asked. We're going to talk about something very strange, but nonetheless real. If you've been following the information for years, you're aware of the fact that when I first started talking to the A's, they were telling me that the reason they came back to our time is because 800 years in their future, tyranny shows up in the galaxy. And they trace those events to this solar system. I have a huge, huge piece of the puzzle for you on that, which I was just given. And I don't know the exact date. I believe it was a couple to several months ago during an experiment of CERN. We're back to CERN. They ramped up the power completely unexpectedly. It wasn't a scheduled test. But they ramped up the power to such an extraordinary level that no one was sure what was going to happen, at least terrestrial. Well, there was somewhat of an explosion of light. And I understand that there were several scientists that were female who literally disappeared in this flash of light. They weren't real people. They were archons pretending to be people that were helping to manage and guide this experiment of CERN. When this flash took place, a very large archon ship in our atmosphere went through it. Now, what's interesting about this is that they ended up in fifth density. Somewhere, okay, fifth density is not exactly laid out the way we see our galaxy, okay, or what we call our universe. Okay, it is much more expansive. The galaxies are much, much bigger. And everything seems to move a lot faster. Well, where they appeared, where they showed up, was on the other side of the universe. Now, what's interesting about this is when I asked, well, you know, how could you not know this? You know, and how can their physical bodies even exist there, you know, without the technology? And M said it's because they're not biologicals, they're synthetics. So, what's happened is that they witnessed this particular event where the ship went through this opening, okay? Now, how that happened, I don't know. It wasn't supposed to happen. So, that's out there, okay? They supposedly had this thing shut down, so they thought. Anyway, they went through. Now, what's interesting is that in what we see in third density as the galaxy and in fourth and fifth, and I assume sixth, you know, as it gets more and more large or expanded, there are what we would call pulsars. What those are beacons. They are made, manufactured beacons that are more or less used for navigation. Not only are they used for navigation, but as you enter specific areas of our galaxy, these beacons will register your ship. They will also provide information of the life forms, the level of evolution, spirituality, all kinds of different things, economic systems, life forms in those particular sectors of the galaxy, okay? They're more or less navigational systems. Well, they also have these in fifth. And what's interesting is as this thing went through, they had registered the resonant frequency or harmonic of not only the craft, but the beings on it. So when they went back to fifth, they time traveled back into fifth, they were able to take this frequency, and apparently there was a very, very big meeting at one of the councils. I don't know which particular star system this was in, but they forwarded this information to the other star families. They plugged this information into their beacons, and lo and behold, they were able to find this ship rather quickly, hiding. Now, they would not have known it was even there because it wasn't registering as a life force. Okay, it wasn't registering as biological. So, they're being dealt with as we speak, or it may have already happened, because time here and time there are completely ridiculously different. But nonetheless, the point that I'm trying to stress, or I was asked to stress to you, is that this threat of these beings is just about done, officially just about done. There is some cleanup here that's going to go on. Has been, but is more or less going to be dealt with here. Whatever happened there, they're coming back now with an enormous amount of new information about who these beings really are. Okay, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of. Okay, so that's just about done. Now, in regards to the surface and what's going on here regarding the regressives, the powers that be, the consortium of dark, the dark consortium, let's just call it that. You know, they're still playing their games. They're not surrendering. They're pulling every dirty trick they can. And they will, looks like they will until the very end. How this all plays out, it's going to be interesting. The end result will be something that is, I feel, and so does Mornay and the A's and other benevolent groups, that this will be very beneficial for humanity. But we have to move through this process of facing this darkness. Now, the reason we're going to have to really look at this, and the reason, which is what I've stressed upon the last couple of webinars, the reason we're going to have to deal with this is if our governments had not given them a foothold, we would not find ourselves in this position, at least current stat, okay? But they did. And we have watched the planet's governments go rogue, go regressive, and we, the people of Earth, we've allowed, you know, this to occur everywhere. We have tolerated it. We have put up with it. We have made excuses for it. You know, and then we've thrown up our hands and said, well, it's the government. Well, you know, the people created the governments in order to service and protect the citizens. You know, that statement of intent ended a long time ago. Okay? So we need to take a stand and just say that's it. We're done. We're done tolerating this nonsense. Because now they're a threat to humanity. And they're going to protect themselves and their power center at all costs. Okay, but now, because of that, they have now become a threat to humanity. So we have to open up our eyes. We have to seriously and honestly look at the issue of what we're dealing with. Okay, we have to own it that we have an issue here. Now, as far as the regressives and the archons and the reptilians, that's not something we ourselves can actually really deal with because we're not equipped for it, nor do we have enough information or technology. But we're going to get help, and we have been getting help on that issue. What we are going to have to own, what we are going to have to take responsibility for, is our own governments. Now, I know that there's a petition for disclosure. In fact, I just got that this morning. Don't look for that. Just, you know, keep going, keep pushing forward, keep, you know, your movement of intent to make that happen, Keep focusing on that happen. Just don't expect it to happen. Okay? Just don't. Because it probably won't happen the way you think it's going to happen. Okay? And again, how this plays out is going to be very unique. Now, folks, I've been offline for almost a month. I'm just back up as of yesterday, late afternoon. So let's see. In several of the webinars, many questions have come up regarding ascension and what that looks like, or reawakening one's DNA. I have some new information on that. I'm not 100% satisfied in that my most specific questions weren't answered. I'm not exactly sure why, but I'm just telling you that right up front. But what's really, really important here is no matter where you live, and we're going to get into, you know, exactly what was said here. I have my notes. Is you have to remember your own frequency. Now, what am I talking about? The reason they couldn't detect the archons in fifth is they couldn't pick up a life force, a signature. Okay? What we're talking about is a vibration, a resonance that each individual being has. It's your signature. That signature is your soul. That harmonic, that frequency comes from your soul or the spirit of who you are. Many of us here who don't have a lot of time to meditate, who maybe don't have a lot of time to walk in nature, to absolutely be still and silent, we've lost the ability to hear our own frequency. And it's imperative that you make an effort to know what that frequency is. Now, how you know that you're with that frequency is you hear that small, still voice within you that's giving you guidance. Some call it gut, some call it instinct. It's gone by a lot of different names. It's not here, though. All right? It isn't coming from here. It's coming from the heart. Okay? It's coming from the heart. And you know that because there will be emotion. You will sense and feel emotion with the information that you're receiving, that you're getting. If there is absolutely no emotion, then you need to check this first. Okay? But it's imperative that we do this. And the reason I say that is that the secret of turning on our DNA is realigning with our soul. Now, the soul is multidimensional. Everyone is different. You could be, your particular soul could be aligned to sixth density. Some souls are fifth. Some are eighth. Some are ninth. Some are 11. And what I mean is that you're having simultaneous existences on each of these levels. Well, connecting all of these levels is your spirit, your soul. That's the part we have to realign with. That's where the data is. That's where the keys are to turning back on our knowledge, our memory, to reactivating the DNA, and to getting all those answers. Now, third density is a real challenge because it's so heavy. Things tend to move really slow, even though things are moving a little bit faster. things tend to move slow. There are so many distractions. There are so many challenges where there's all these rules, and the ones who make the rules don't even abide by the rules themselves. So there is a lot of contradiction. There's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of disenchantment. There's heartbreak. There's sorrow. There's physical pain. There's emotional pain. There's spiritual pain. There's just a lot going on here. We all need to invest more time, even if it's 10 minutes a day, and be committed to it, to trying to be quiet and still and listen for that small voice within us, to realign with that voice to the point where no matter where we are, we can get quiet and we can hear that voice. Okay? We can hear the voice. Feel the voice. Know that it's you, that it's real, and that you're connected, because it is always connected to Source, to Creator, to God, whatever name you want to give it. Okay, it's always there. That's where your life force comes from. Okay? That's where it comes from. All of our life force comes from the Creator. We need to reconnect to that and reconnect to that small voice. It's imperative to do that now because information is bombarding the planet. And that information is giving us not only intuitive information, but also a multi-level understanding of information regarding our advanced selves. Now, when I asked, defined advanced selves, he said future selves. This is all what we would call here sacred wisdom. We are here in this present moment, okay, today. The information that is coming from our higher selves, our souls, our spirits, and from other benevolent groups is future information about us, where we are going, how we're going to get there, and the stages and steps we need to complete that. But we have to be not only listening to the information, but we also have to be able to receive it, hear it, and integrate it. They're not going to come down and give us a DVD and say, plug this in, this is how you're going to do it. That isn't how this works, unfortunately. Okay. Apparently this is how it's always been done on other dimensions. The process we're going through, which hasn't happened here before, this is how it's going to be. So, and like you, I have the same work to do. You know, trying to get more quiet, be able to hear, get still inside, and be able to take the knowledge, write it in my journals, and integrate it, okay? After I've sat with it and processed it and tested it, took it out for a spin, so to speak, okay? Anyway, that's what we have to do. According to the benevolence, many people on the planet, children, teens, young adults, and seniors, many of you are beginning to get very telepathic. You're probably not telling anyone that, but you are hearing the thoughts of others. You are hearing their thinking processes before they actually act. I was told to let you know that they're aware of that, that it's a good thing. It's very positive. Do not shy away from it. If you're not comfortable sharing that, you don't have to. But understand that this is the natural way this is the way we were supposed to be. So you are there, you are blazing the trail for the rest of us, and those around you, your friends and family. And this is a good thing. I just wanted you to know that. I understand that Einstein's theory on gravity waves has been proven. This is also going to provide proof of dimensions for scientists. Quantum mechanics has already sort of proven it. But now that it can be registered and measured, this will lead to other very significant discoveries, including energy, the ability to use these gravity waves, capture them to generate energy. That should be very interesting here in the future. I have been asked to share this next part with you. And it's about what we would call, or what we have been taught, is known as the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark that supposedly Moses put the tablets from Jehovah in. Jehovah, the son of Enlil, the Sumerian god, the Anunnaki god. Okay, so I have to give you some background history on this first. Apparently, this is something that's going to be very prevalent here in the very near, if not to the immediate future. Okay? And you need this background so that you can put this in perspective and be able to detach from the drama that's going to be surrounding the rediscovery of one of these arcs in Ethiopia, in fact. Okay, originally they were two. Both of them are alien technology. They were used hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, they are not what we have been taught they are. They were mechanical devices. They were made of different alloys, one of which was gold. They had circuitry boards and other technology built into them. And what they would do, they would carry into mines, and they would be turned on using harmonic frequencies. A scale of tones, almost like a song, would turn these devices on. And there were two people were assigned to each arc. Now, I'm referring to the alien technology ones. All right, they were used in different parts of the planet. Two people would have these codes. They were never together. Okay, they would, if one was with the Ark, one was very far away, and it was the same for the other. Now, there was an optical device on one of the ends of the Ark. This generated a light, what we now know as a laser. Okay, this device, once it was turned on, would generate itself using the Earth's harmonic frequencies. It would build it up inside, and it would create this light. Now, the people managing this device, this arc, which is what it was called, because it would first show an arc on the top of it when it was turned on before it generated the laser that would come out. The people operating this device would be talking to someone in a starship up above, and they would be leading this arc, this laser, underground to the to longitude and latitude of where huge gold deposits were. This device would literally cut tunnels to these gold deposits, and then people would go in, slaves, and then mine the gold, okay, and bring it back up to the surface. This is how this worked. There were two of them. One was used in a battle, a war, between two extraterrestrial tribes, and it was destroyed. And I was told it was destroyed by one known as Enki, okay, of the Anunnaki. He destroyed the device because it was never meant to be used as a weapon. The other, however, is still somewhere on planet Earth. But humans that were associated who saw this device work, they created another one. It isn't even close. It is literally just a replica. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't communicate with God, and it cannot be used as a weapon. This is the one that will be brought to the surface. But understand that we're going to be sold. We're going to be... Well, you know how they are. You know what they're doing. This man-made device is not a covenant with the creator of the dimensions. Okay? It just isn't. You need to keep that in perspective here, because you don't want to lose perspective with everything that they're rolling out now, because the powers that be, they're still doing their thing. You know, they may be backpedaling a little bit, but they have this agenda of a world government, of creating a one-world currency, of trying to enslave humanity, of trying to poison as many people as they can using vaccines that literally cause your body not to digest or break down vitamin D, which then gives you cancer. And, you know, all the other chemicals which destroy our DNA, you know, they're not stopping. They are moving ahead with their agenda. At what two points do this absolutely come to a halt between the benevolence and this group? I don't have that information. If I did, I would tell you. But I don't know that it's been written yet. I think it's still evolving. But what we can do as a humanity is refocus, okay, on caring about each other. Thinking positive about each other. About trying to do our best to watch each other's back. About understanding that we have all been tweaked with down here. Okay, we all have. And this information is coming to a head. It really is, and it appears things are moving very, very quickly. And this isn't just about America. This isn't just about Russia or China. This is the whole world. This is every single one of us. Okay, we are all in the same boat, whether we realize it or not. Now, having said that, yes, there are positive things happening. Yes, it appears the outcome will eventually be fabulous. But that does not mean we do not continue to work on ourselves and help work on each other. You understand? We can't sit back, watch TV, and say, I'll meditate tomorrow. I'll create a space of love next week. I have a day, I have vacation coming, you know, in 3 weeks for a weekend, and then I'll do it. No. That is so not how this works. Okay? We all have to build up a reserve of resonance, of frequency, to empower ourselves. We need to raise our vibrations up to what is coming down. We have to engage this harmonic. And I know some of you are listening saying, what the hell is he talking about? You know, I get that. But you won't know unless you try. You will not know unless you engage in this process of hearing your own frequency, your own inner voice, and know. You will never know unless you invest the time to do this. And I'm asking you to do it. It isn't going to cost you anything. And somewhere along the way, you have time, whether it's on the toilet, whether it's in the morning when you don't want to get out of bed and go to work and start your day, whatever time it is, or at night just before you shut your eyes, or you're walking to the mailbox, or you go outside and you're like, you know, shit, I don't want to cut the lawn. But you're standing outside anyway. Use these moments, okay, to fuel your frequency. Standing online at the grocery store, sitting in traffic. You know, you could choose to sit there and be all pissed off about it, or you can get into a space of joy and calm and try to listen to your own frequency. The choice is obviously yours. But if you don't invest in this, please don't bitch about it, okay? Because many of us are really trying to do our part here, to lift humanity, to turn this thing around. We know it's all upside down. Many of you who are here for the first time, you know this whole thing is upside down. You maybe can't explain it, but you know it. You know it on a level, and that's huge right there. The fact that you intuitively know that everything is upside down, that's a start right there. Now what you need to do is go inside and find out what those pieces are and allow your higher self, your soul, your spirit to lead you to the answers to the questions you are asking. It will happen. It's happening to all of us. You're not the exception. Okay? It will happen for you. Just please invest in doing this. I implore you. It's so important to do this. This sacred wisdom that's coming is literally, folks, going to blow us all away. It is important to be in the moment. I understand you have to plan your days, you have to plan the grocery store. Especially if you have a family or you run a company, you have so much responsibility. But there are moments. There are definitely moments where you can be in the moment. And when you're in those moments, bless the moments. And when you bless those moments, bless what it is that you want. If you don't know what you want, well, shit, you got a lot more work to do than I do, okay? But you have to know what you want, okay? For you, for your children, your spouse, your friends, your partner, your family, you have to know what you want. Bless those moments. When you're in the moment, bless that moment. I am so grateful for all the things that I want that are here now. And know it. And this is not new, okay? I'm here just to remind you, because this is all part of raising our frequency to meet what's coming in, to engaging the universe, okay? The universe is abundant. You know, when you see these starships coming in to help Earth, to help the planet, and I mean, you haven't even seen what they've been doing to help us with these regressive groups that have been here wreaking all kinds of havoc. You're going to be amazed when it's all laid out in front of you. You're going to be like, oh my God, okay? Oh my God. I had no idea such living beings existed. Well, believe it or not, that's the norm. Okay? That's the norm. Loving beings are the norm. You know, not the rest of this shit. That is not the norm. And we shouldn't settle for it any longer. We should be done with this. Stop settling for pricks and assholes. Just be done with it. Bless them on their way. I bless you, but I choose not to be in your space. And just focus on what it is that you want. And raise your frequency, engage with the frequency that's coming in. Yeah. You have to try, okay? If you do, you will know what I'm talking about is real. And I'm not the only one saying this. There are many, many other speakers and teachers and guides and doing this work as well and have been doing this work. And all they ask you to do is invest in you. Is invest in you. It doesn't cost a damn thing. It doesn't cost a thing. You know? All you have to do is say, I love me. I'm worth it. Okay? I'm worth it. I'm going to do this. And do it. You. There is no way you will ever regret this. Okay? Our purpose is to be light. And we are light. It's just that the more we forget we are, the more physical we become. So we have to remember we're light. And the more we remember we're light, the lighter our frequency will get, the higher the resonance will become, and the more doors and opportunity will come to us. And it is there that all the abundance is. Okay? That's where it is. That's where the real abundance is. The spiritual abundance, the manifestation, the ability to manifest abundance, it's all there. It's all at this level. Okay? We cannot let the powers that be convince us of the opposite. We cannot allow them to do this anymore. Okay? And it's on us because we're buying into this crap. We're buying into all this nonsense. And we just have to stop doing that.
Yes, we have a lovely cachet of delicious, fresh, 100% organic, homegrown questions. So starting from the bottom of my list and going up, which is like going from the first one, our first message is from Davey about the Keshe Foundation. What do you think of the Keshe Foundation and the plasma technology Mr. Keshe is teaching?
I think it's awesome. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think we should support it. I from what I understand from scientists and engineers who have contacted me, is that it does in fact work. And I think we should surround this man with as much love as possible so they don't kill him.
Good.
I'm absolutely sincere about that.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I think he's, you know, do you know if he's getting any help from his, I mean, is he one of us? Is he a starseed giving technology to the humans? Or is
Doesn't
he a human?
That matter? He is one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to make things better, and we should support that. You know, does it matter where he's from or, you know, let's just take the first couple of baby steps here, and that is that he's here. He has this revolutionary technology that will create more freedom for everyone at a fraction of the cost. You know, why boggle it? Why bog it down with all this other nonsense?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Let's just support the process. Okay, obviously.
I'm waiting for one.
Let's just keep it simple right now. I mean, we're all infants sort of here. Let's just keep it as simple as possible.
Okie doke. This is from Dottie. Good day, Alex. If we fell from 11D because of a screw-up, why can we not return to 11D without going through 4D, 5D, 6D, etc.?
Okay, well, who said it was a screw-up? My understanding is that the Dipital specifically chose to come down and fall back into time to right a terrible wrong. So who said it was a screw-up?
Well, isn't a terrible wrong a screw-up?
That doesn't mean that the decision to come down was a screw-up. That a decision like that had to be full of intent and conscious decision. There is no screw up there.
I hear you.
Unless you, in fact, didn't believe what you were telling yourself, then there's a screw up. But for those who chose to come down and to turn things around, to, you know, be the spiritual warrior, there are no screw ups. You do or you don't. It's pretty simple, actually.
So, coming, segueing perfectly into the next question, do and don't. From Jim, can you discuss the difference between duality consciousness and unity consciousness? There is no.
I have to give that some thought, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm completely flat-footed on that one.
Well, it's I suppose it's like the mindset of the A's compared with the mindset of the humans. The humans are about like, oh, we got to battle them, but the A's see it's a kind of more of an internal process, and that everybody's connected, so everybody's responsible for everybody else.
Okay, well,
that's me answering your question for you. Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, you didn't, but based on that scenario. That's not entirely accurate, because the A's and other groups of benevolence are here to do battle, and they have been doing battle. So, you know, I don't exactly know how to answer that. I personally, off the top of my head, would say that it's very possible that our definitions of universal knowledge and duality, universal unity consciousness and duality consciousness, may not be accurate at all. We may not be able to actually answer that question ourselves, because we don't have all the information. We don't have all the data of what that true consciousness is.
Thank you. So, from Davey, if you have a split soul and asked to go home when the time comes, which option do you get to go back to in terms of the two different soul origins? Well, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a split soul. I couldn't answer that question. That sounds like a very personal experience. I don't know.
This is from Edais, or Edais. Are some of the Partal actually a great part of the sleeping majority of humanity, especially in America, too?
God, I sure hope so.
I don't
mean that America's more important than the rest of the world. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you know, when I say I hope so, it's because we have enormous problems here in America, you know, and it's only now truly begin to be magnified as to just how dire our situation is internally. So I hope so, and I hope they wake up pretty soon, because I think America is important to the planet, just as China is, just as Russia is. You know, I think we all have equal importance, and I think we all can learn so much from each other. There are a lot of Patal here, though. This much I do know. I don't know if they're all asleep, or a majority of them are still not awake. Maybe they are awake and they're hiding. I don't know how to answer that question. But I am told that they do and will know who they are.
Okay, more Patal questions. From Mason. Alex, if the Patal are from a higher density, such as 10 or 11, how is it that they could have warred with the reptilians? Is there a technology that allows the reptilians to reach into higher densities for military purposes?
No, the Patal have fallen into time, into third density. I'm not aware that they're in fourth or fifth. But in coming in and taking physical form, you are engaging in the process of this frequency. And that also includes fully engaging in the process of freedom. So, no, as far as I know, there are virtually no differences in the higher frequencies above 8, I believe. In fact, I think from 9th, 10th up, there isn't even sexes. Okay? There isn't even a difference of sex. So but that question is not accurate. There is no war on those levels. Those beings have come down here to make a difference, to adjust their density so that our frequency, our density can reconnect to the ascension process of the universe, of the galaxy. All right? It is like the weight of a tire. It's like a tire on your car. When it's not properly balanced, it wobbles. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Right? That means that it's out of sync. And what it does is it causes everything else in the car to be completely out of whack. Well, basically, they're coming in here to balance so that everything begins to move harmoniously, energetically, effortlessly, in a frequency that engages ascension. There you go.
There you did it. This is from Sharon. Any advice or way to enhance or speed up going to 12 strands of DNA?
No, I'd have done it. I'd have done it if I did.
We all do it together, huh? Okay, next question from Vipul Mehta. Greetings from India. Greetings, India. Help me connect one more dot. He wants to know, or she wants to know, I think it's a guy, wants to know about Hinduism and how the culture here of yoga, Vimana, and Vedas come here. It's very different from Abrahamic religion.
I'm not aware about the Abrahani religion. And truthfully,
Abrahamic, as in Christianity, Muslim.
Oh, okay, sorry. Judaism. I'm not familiar with the Hindu religion much at all, to be honest with you. But let us just do this. Let us just put all the religions aside. Okay? And let us just focus on the spiritual practices that bring peace, that bring love, that bring joy, and they bring health to you. Okay? Forgetting the religions and the dogma attached to any of those practices. What practices can you do worldwide that you can put together that will create that kind of synchronicity, holistic synchronicity in your life? That's what I would focus on. Okay? Because you're probably going to find pieces in all Catholicisms that will benefit in some way. It's when you get caught up in all the other ridiculous nonsense of this is it, this is the only way, you know, that we all get ourselves bogged down. So that's how I would answer that question.
Okay, thank you. And very pretty song. And when one on, this is from Dennis, when one on Earth dies and his soul is traveling towards white light, does he finally remember what he was in all past lives? And when, and if he leaves the reincarnation cycle of the Earth to some other galaxy, will he, she, they still remember everything? So, memory when you die. Can we get it back before we die? That's what I want to know. I don't know, supplementary. Go ahead.
You know, the only way to truly answer that question is I would have to die and then send you a letter. And, of course, that letter would be worth keeping because the postage on it would probably be amazing. My understanding is that, yes, you do remember. You remember everything. But the most important thing that you remember, and this was stressed to me by the A's because this happens to them on their level, is that they look at places where they made the decision, where they had the intention to withhold love. That is the key to the experience that we all have here. That's all I got.
Withholding love, and there's this famous phrase that you've relayed from them as about the pain you carry is the love you withhold.
That was from Phaseas. The love that you withhold is the pain that you carry lifetime after lifetime.
Interesting. From Luca, can Alex talk about whether the incoming Planet X could be a fake technological projection, as Simon Parks has mentioned?
I will emphatically disagree with him on that. I will emphatically disagree with him on that. And I'm sure if we ever do a show together, that will be a topic of discussion.
Okie doke. Okay.
And I look forward to that topic. Not that I always want to be right, and I don't want to be right on this, but it is coming, folks. It is coming.
Sometimes you just don't want to be right about things. Okay, so this is about the Vaylon. Are you familiar with the concept of the Vaylon?
I don't know the term.
Story of the Vaylon through Chris Thomas, who's an Akashic record reader. There may be different names for these beings. But they arrived about 300 years ago, time traveled back 7,000 years to create the myth of themselves landing and being the original Sumerians.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
That's a first.
Okay.
Maybe you could email that information to me, and I'll research it and I'll ask.
I've got a little MP3 that I'll send you about that.
That's cool.
A few minutes of your time. Okay. From Dennis. Do mammals and insects also enter? Oh, this is very nice. Also enter a reincarnation cycle after they die. And do they retain the memory of past lives? For instance, birds that know how to build a nest, etc. Is that a lot past life thing, or is that a DNA thing?
You know, that's a great question. I am only aware of two species that come in with their memory, and that's dolphins and whales. I'm not aware of any other species that does that,
yeah,
with the exception of some of us. You know,
maybe soon, all of us say.
Yes.
Okay, from Alexander, despite the bad press, and if so, what is the healthiest way relative to an evolved, self-responsible Terran humanity to do so? Do we have anything to gain by facing this part of ourselves? Well, I think he's saying, you know, that humans have got a bad press elsewhere.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. Yes, they are able to objectively look at us, but they also understand the conditions from which we have lived under, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, or even longer than that. They are fully aware of the fact that we have been manipulated, not only psychologically and spiritually, but genetically, okay? And let me just say this to you. If the benevolence didn't think we were worth it, they would just fly right by. Why bother? Okay? But the fact is they stopped, they've parked, they've made decisions, they've taken actions, they continue to do it, they are planning, they are processing, they are bringing in more support to assist us in what our true journey is supposed to be. So my response to that is, let's just not believe the press. Let's just think much higher of ourselves. That's where I'd go with that. We just need to think higher of ourselves. And then be that person.
Well, you know? And this is despite this next question, which is... The Sikar, one among the 22 species who have contributed to the Terran human genome, is a Sikar. Is it important to integrate this aspect of ourselves?
Well,
that's the beginning of the last question.
So you take that one 22nd piece of yourself, and you're just going to focus on that as opposed to the totality of all of who you are? Why bother? That seems like an awful waste of time to me. I would focus on the totality of who you are to raise that frequency and to move out of fear into love. You know? I mean, why get bogged down? Let's keep this simple. Why get bogged down with that little piece? Okay? Why bother? Evolve the whole thing together, because together is who you are. You know?
Alex, are you being distracted there? Was there somebody calling on the door?
No.
No. All right. So we've got a good chunk of time now. So, from Lauren, in 96 at the ranch, you talked about a Tau City craft that was shot down and the pilot was taken underground to North Dakota. My question is, where is the approximate location of this facility? Who runs it and what goes on there? We'd have to kill you afterwards, I think. It's classified information, isn't it?
I don't know the approximate location. I don't know.
Okay. All right, there's another one. When you said we have to raise our frequency, will animals also do that while we are moving through the galactic plane?
Yes, the animals will intuitively do it on their own because they're so connected to the Earth. Their relationship with the Earth is completely symbiotic. You know, they exist together as one. We used to, some of the native tribes, the Aboriginal tribes, used to do that. But almost none of us do it today. You know, we see ourselves as separate, when in fact we're not. The animals that have chosen, or the breeds that will move to that next level, I assume that's already been decided, either collectively by the consciousness of animals or by the Earth herself in conjunction with the consciousness of animals. You know, it's interesting that whenever there's a catastrophe somewhere, the animals always know before we do. And that's because they listen to that small voice inside of them. You know, their radar is turned on and they hear it loud and clear and they're like, oh shit, it's time to go. And they go and they book. You know, they'll go somewhere else, out of harm's way.
They know what they don't want.
So they get it.
They do indeed. From Helen. Hi, Alex. Smiley face. Have the A's mentioned the works of Ashiana Dean, author of The Voyages 1 and 2? And if so, what do you know about the validity of her teaching in regard to help us transform spiritually?
Shall I not
ask questions about other people's stuff? I think it's always awkward.
I don't, and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't criticize anybody else's work, because, you know, I truly believe whatever place they're coming from, and this would go for me, that their hearts are absolutely in the right place, and we're all doing the very best we can, you know, to be of service.
Okay, that's so, right. So I'm not going to ask any more questions about people specifically or their teachings. All right, from Lauren, this is an interesting one. I've read that the Draconians met with Constantine before his rise to power. Do you know the nature of that meeting? Also, do you know if Martin Luther was contacted around the time of the Protestant Reformation?
I don't know anything about Martin Luther. I am aware of early Christian founders having met with extraterrestrials, not just one group, but two, one of which was more human, who turned out to be archons, even though we're human-looking, okay, even though they're synthetic. So I do not know the nature of those meetings. I wasn't present for that. But it's interesting that if you look at the structure of government, some of the religions, where they say we're here to help, we're here to serve, we are here to protect, and then their actions are the complete opposite of what it is that they preach. That should tell you everything about their actual intent in serving humanity. You know, our government is the first to say we're here to protect freedom as they take our freedoms away. So that should tell you everything about their intent.
We're going to protect the crap out of you.
Yeah. Keep you safe and secure. In jail. In a prison, you're going to be safe and secure.
Yeah, nice and comfortable, nice and warm. Three quarters and a square. So three squares and a quarter. From Russell, thank you for your mentorship of humanity, Alex.
The honor's mine. Thank you for your support.
Can you explain the history of the dynamic between the Anunnaki and the Draconis reptilians? Did the Dracos or Anunnaki alter human DNA? And why did the Anunnaki leave? Are there still some here beyond their Earth hybrid offspring?
I'm not aware of any Anunnaki here beyond their offspring. If they are, I'm just not aware of it. Okay, I'll say that to you. In regards to the Draconian relationship to the Anunnaki, can we save that for, you know, we're talking about changing the format a little bit to doing one every 2 weeks, because I would like some time to really be able to sit down and go through all of my notes so that I can lay it out real simple for you as to how that relationship evolved in the beginning and then devolved at the end. Okay. I think it's important to note that. So can we come back to that, you know, maybe either the next webinar or the one after? Hopefully that's permissible, but that's what I would like to do.
Because so really drill down into it. Yeah.
That deserves a very thought out answer. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Really, this it may be a very, very popular. I mean, it's a subject that, because, you know, we're all reeling from what the heck happened.
Yes, we are. We all have post-traumatic stress from it.
Exactly.
We do.
Exactly. And it's exploited. So that's another thing. Okay. So. From Suzanne takes me down. The Schumann frequency has changed. Is it natural or artificial? Should we listen to it for healing? Can the A's broadcast a healing frequency to us? Thanks for all you do.
The healing frequencies is coming from multiple sources. Yes, it's real. All you have to do is tune into it, test it, experiment with it. You will know. You will absolutely know. Okay, the fence is down, folks. We have to start thinking differently here. All right? You know, we can step over the wire. We can step over the wire now. It's okay. All right?
It's a bit like a dog. When you give it a wall as a puppy, it'll never jump over the wall. And as it grows up, it still doesn't jump over the wall because it's still conditioned.
It's okay now. It's okay. So, the wire.
From Tobias, what species were the original creators of the human race? The ones who brought us up to who we are now? From what I found out recently, it were the human Anunnaki. What have the A's told you about humanity's origins?
Okay, I hear conflict in the question. Who created human beings? Okay, now we're not just talking about Earth. Is he just talking about Earth? Because if we're talking about all human beings, no one knows the answer to that. No one in this density to the fifth density know exactly where human beings were created as we know ourselves. No one knows. In fact, it's thought that the human form came from some higher dimension, unknown.
From Chris.
In other words, the archetype of human beings is unknown, even to the fifth density.
And that includes the Andromedan beings.
Yes, it does.
They would be. Are they the same material construction as we are?
Yes.
Like carbon based, and but just tall.
Yes.
And blue.
Their cellular structure is a little different because in the environment where they live, they have a larger color spectrum, they have a larger frequency spectrum, and they also have different organic materials in which that nourish their body and is part of their environment. It's different than what we have here. So there are some differences, but if you were to break it down to its simplest factors, yes, we are very much the same.
Interesting. So, this is from Lauren. In a recent interview, you said that one of the strands of DNA removed allowed our bodies to make its own vitamin C.
Correct.
Can you go into further detail of what our bodies were capable of? Oh, this is a very good question. Before we were screwed with.
In the very, very beginning, when humanity was placed on the planet, the average life expectancy was 887 years. We could self-heal. The average height for a male was 6'5 to 6'9. The average height for a woman was 5'11 to 6'3. Other than the ability to heal itself, to ward off virtually any disease or viruses, if as long as we remained on the surface and within range of our sun, okay, our bodies would produce the chemicals we needed in order to have optimum health. We, of course, still needed food and nourishment. But I'm not aware that there was a lot of flesh eating at that particular time. It was mostly plant-based, vegetarian. We began eating a lot more meat or flesh after we were tweaked because our bodies simply couldn't produce everything it needed for optimum health. We had to go and get it from other sources. So it was a chain reaction.
Okay, so how to become part of the food chain. Okay, and A's related questions. The first one is, hi Alex, are you currently in touch with the A's? When was the last time you were on the mothership? And then related, Davey's asking, Alex, you look younger. Has being offline included being off planet?
No, unfortunately. I have not been off planet. Is there another question?
Are you currently in touch with the A's? Like, when was the last time when was the last time you were on the mothership, and presumably when's the last time you had any contact? Or is it a constant thing?
For purposes of security and for my own protection, I humbly refuse to answer that question.
Good. Right. All right, from George. With all the Rh negative presidents, are these people all reptilian hybrids? My mother is B plus, my brother O minus, and almost died during his gestation. So,
Are all the Rh negative presidents all reptilian hybrids?
No, we've had some really good, decent people. That's not the issue at all. I mean, we've had some real skunks, no doubt about it. You know, they were skunks before they were president, and they were skunks while they were president, and they really stunk when they were after they were president. No, we've had some very decent people, and I'm not aware that all of them were Rh negatives either. The problem is that the global power structure based around money is the culprit here. You know, that has ruled for thousands of years, and now we have the military-industrial complex after the Industrial Revolution. You know, so now we have two power structures that compete with each other, but they also work together to basically suppress humanity. So, you know, that's pretty much the deal. Now, here in the United States, the group that literally controlled the executive branch of government during the Kennedy administration was known as Special Operations Coordinating Group. They were attached to the National Security Council. It has since just goes by the name of Special Group. They essentially control all of the intelligence going in and out of the executive branch of government. These people are not elected. They remain in power a very, very long time. And they have absolute control. What's interesting is that the first thing Jack Kennedy did when he was sworn in was disband Special Operations Coordinating Group. And when he was assassinated, the very first thing Johnson did when he got back to D.C. was reinstate Special Operations Coordinating Group. So I'll let you figure out the middle part, okay?
Thank you very much. So, temporal mechanics from Alexander. One of your most beloved Zenotean mentors was a very wise, multi-millennially aged elder, direct, somewhat mischievous in his sense of humor, poignant and very well-learned, known to us through you as the sage Thesaeus. Can you spell Thesaeus for us?
V-A-S-A-I-S.
V-A-S-A-I-S, right. Okay, so
I've seen it a million different ways as well.
So here's the thing. We are given to understand that the Thesaeus, who regularly interacted with you, has since passed on. Is there any taboo against interacting with his younger self, who surely exists elsewhere in this present day? If they're from the future.
I would absolutely love to, but I have not been told he's come back yet. And if he has, I've not been made aware of it.
Okay. Oh, right. So,
but I would do it in a heartbeat. I would do it in a heartbeat.
It would be interesting to
meet him as a teenager, you know?
Sorry,
interesting to meet him as a teenager. Of course, a teenager in their lifespan, he's 150 years, you know? He'd be a teenager.
Yeah, well, he's probably only just left school and is looking at his first couple of jobs.
Oh, my God.
So, it's from Chris. Do nature spirits camouflage themselves in the form of animals, insects, images, or shapes in nature? And is this because we do not trust our right brain?
You know, that is not an area of expertise at all for me. I don't know about nature spirits. I have not devoted much, if any, time to that part of our reality. So I apologize. I would probably look for someone who's Native American, who that would be a very natural progression for them. But that is just not an area of expertise for me.
I just want to say that I'm answering the questions in the order in which they came, more or less. Some people are saying, can you scroll up a bit to ask the questions? No, I'm just going through them as they are. So if you got there early, you got there early. Alex and I may do a supplementary show to answer some of the unasked questions, because it's...
Yeah, it's time to do that. And, yeah. And folks, like I said, I've been offline, so that's on me. You know, and I've been struggling with life, so that's on me. But we're definitely, in fact, I talked to JP about it yesterday, that we were going to do something maybe next week, you know, for 3 hours where we can just do Q&A. So.
That'd be lovely. That'd be really lovely. Okay, so chips. And I'm not talking about potatoes. This is from Kerry. Oh, that's good to have a new questions. I am aware that some of us are chipped for negative purposes. Can some be chipped for helpful purposes?
I suppose. I'm simply not aware of positives chipping anybody because there is no need to, because the positives, the benevolence, they see you as a free and independent person, not as a piece of property. And that's just kind of their thinking. So I suppose it's possible. I'm simply not aware, nor have I been read into the fact that benevolence are using chips in people. That doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I'm right. That's just what I know. Okay?
Yep, you just not heard. From Cygnus 808. Good name. Alex, I am one of the contactees since from 1990. I am very curious about Japanese mentor you were mentioned in the past. I am Japanese.
What was that last part? I am curious about Japanese what?
Curious about the you mentioned a Japanese mentor in the past. This person is Japanese, and have you mentioned a Japanese mentor?
I missed that one. I missed that part if I did.
They didn't send you the memo. are there Japanese Andromedas? This is what we don't know.
I haven't gotten it yet. Well, the NSA's not finished reading it. No, I'm not aware of mentioning a Japanese mentor. So my bad if I said it. I don't recall it. But I mean, there are a lot of incredibly wise people in Japan. I'm sure there's, you know, thousands of great mentors. You know, how you find them, I wouldn't know.
You just have to get ready, don't you?
You know, if you raise your frequency, maybe they'll just come to you.
Exactly.
Because then they'll recognize you.
A question from Nancy. Does Putin have the Ark of Gabriel? Is that the same as the Ark of the Covenant you were talking about earlier?
I have no clue.
That was an article from before it's
Gabriel. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Me neither.
I have no clue.
Okay. From Mike. I'm looking at the type of people and groups of people that are aligned with the regressives. Do they, generally speaking, have a higher proportion of Draco DNA than others? Are they inherently less empathetic and kind to humans?
That's a really good question, and my answer is I don't know. Clearly, empathy is an issue. That's clearly an issue. And it would be an issue in any decision to withhold love, in any decision not to show compassion, or in any decision to choose to intent to harm someone for whatever reason. I don't know that it has anything to do with reptilian DNA specifically. I just don't know that. Um, I just don't know.
Okay. Question from Russell about the brown dwarf. Is the brown dwarf that can be seen with the eye next to our sun Nibiru? Or is it a sun that Nibiru orbits? Or does this brown dwarf have nothing to do with Nibiru or Planet X?
Okay. Also,
yeah, okay, so let's do that. And they were talking about who are the Anunnaki, or the combination of Syrians and Orion. So Nibiru, Anunnaki, away you go, Alex.
Different cultures call it different things. I also know that there is another speaker who is saying that it has been classified with just a number, and that it isn't such and such, and that Nibiru supposedly passed us in March of 2013. I absolutely do not buy any of that stuff. And Nibiru has not passed us. It's about to, but it hasn't already left. No. And so the answer to your question is yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's what everyone else out there is calling it. So yes, it is. Okay? That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, so there is a controversy. You know, is it the name of the star, the brown dwarf star, or is it a planet that runs around it, and what's called what?
But Nibiru is a system. It is a star with planets around it that moves through our star system and other star systems every 46 to 4700 years. Okay? It's like taking Saturn or Jupiter and making it move through our solar system every 4600 to 4700 years. It's the exact same thing, except Saturn would be a star that hasn't lit up. It's called a dwarf star. Okay? It has a negative magnetic field, which is very strong. That's what it is. That's how you can liken this. It would be like taking Saturn, turning it into a dwarf star with all its moons, and sending it on its way to rotate and come through every 46 to 4700 years. That's what we're dealing with.
What could go wrong? Exactly. So
that's why help is here. That's why help is here.
Okay, so from Adeus again. Each day I am less and less interested in the affairs of third density of
Well, I feel
more at home in other densities, but feel stuck in between. This is becoming unbearable. Do you have any advice?
I feel you. I totally feel you. I have those days too. I absolutely have those days. And all I have to, and what I do is I try to go outside in nature and remind myself how beautiful it is. You know, how beautiful the moment is. So what I do is I break it down, I let go of everything that overwhelms me, and I focus on the moment and how grateful I am for the moment and the fact that I'm alive, that I'm standing next to a beautiful tree. There's wildlife, ducks, geese, rabbits, squirrels. I'm just grateful for the moment. And I slowly start to come out of it. And that's all you can do. That's all you can do, you know, is just, you know, find some appreciation and then grasp that attitude of gratitude. Sometimes that's all you can do to get through it. So, but I hear you.
Totally. Yeah, I think really it's like make new habits, create new habits of being.
You have to think differently. You have to tweak what doesn't work and find ways to make it work. You just do. You know? You got to out-clever yourself.
Oh, wow. So here's a good one. Alex, can you describe how the Patal look like, even if they're in a higher density realm? Any sight that shows similarities in physical description?
I don't know. I do not know what they look like.
Okay. From Sue, where did the Lumerians come from? And are Lumerians and Lemurians the same people?
What's that last part?
Really, the question is where. I think she means Lemurians, but she says Lumerians, and it's like, is there a Lumerian as well as a Lemurian, or are they the same thing? But basically, the question is, where did the Lemurians come from?
Okay, Lemuria was a multi-species colony that was established on Earth first. A great portion of the inhabitants came from the Sirius, the Dog Star system first. You also had some that came out of Orion. They were wanderers, gypsies, for lack of a better word. But they didn't build technology. They were magical, is the word that was used. They used spiritual technologies, which we would call today magic. They didn't build technology, which is why they got their ass kicked by the Atlanteans, because they were focused in a completely different way than the Atlanteans were. And you know, I have not thought about Lemuria in probably 25 years. I have been so distracted and focused with other information and other areas. You know, I will go back to my notes, and the next time I hear from M, I will get more information on that. Because, you know, we probably need more information on that.
I think we do, Alex. I think we really do. And there's another aspect, which was like your personal presence on this planet. You said started about 80,000 years ago.
62,000. It feels like 80.
Yeah, it doesn't feel a day over 44,000. There's a kind of overlap. Did you kind of find your way to Lemuria? Can you remember? Is there information there that you could tell us, like, your personal experience of being there?
You know, when I was shown lifetimes on that first visit, there are a couple that I would suspect were probably Lemurian, but I don't know for a fact. And I don't actually have a lot of knowledge about my specific lifetimes there. You know, Viseus would always kept bringing me back to the present, that this is where I was, this is where the work needed to be, not to focus back there, that what I needed to do was focus here because this is where the work needed to be. So he would never answer questions like that for me or give me anything about me per se. You know, although he's given me quite a few zingers to make me think about stuff. Mornay is very different in that respect. But, you know, I will ask. I have not asked specific questions like that of Mornay, because Viseus trained me not to. So, you know, to stay in the moment and focus on here, which is where the work needed to be. But I will ask, and if I get something and, you know, I wasn't a complete jerk, I'll tell you. And if I was a complete jerk, I probably won't tell you. So.
No, because we need to know. We need to know because, like, you know, you're on the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, because you're like a regular guy, you know. You're just like you and me and James and everybody who's listening. We're just people. And you get excited and you get freaked out and you're just like everybody else. And these stories that you know, when you were sitting in the driving chair, you were telling that story several months ago, and how the whole thing started flipping out. Everybody else would do that. Now we have, like you call it, a domain of knowing that, oh, maybe I should keep my mind still because I remember Alex talking about that. And that might improve with the generation of next contactees who go up there and who can actually keep their minds a bit more steady and take their ships out a bit. You know? You see what I'm saying? Is that your experiences are giving us a great
reason. The next batch of contactees or even some of the ones that are here today that haven't come forward, I'm sure they're already smarter than we are. At least I would hope so. You know, the law of consistency, you know, the younger ones are taught what the old ones know everything, you know, and that keeps the knowledge base. There's no brain drain. There's no loss of knowledge. You know, it's the law of consistency, and you keep everybody moving forward. You know, I would assume and I would expect that the next batch, the next crop, or those who are already here that haven't come forward yet, because it isn't their time, but they're smarter than we are. And I'm good with that. I really am. I'm good with that. That's really how it should be, you know? So.
Good, good. Ran W, for the Zenitean people, how did they decide when one of their own is ready to be a teacher to their own kind?
You know what? That's a great question. I do know that there is a ceremony. Now, when they reach that level, when they reach this level of maturity, there is a ceremony. And I've heard about it, and I've seen bits of it without really knowing what it was all about. But let me go back to the Chaldeans, okay? And there's a reason for this, and we're almost out of time, so I wanted to finish with this. On our planet, we have a symbol known as the Fleur de Lis. This was taken by the French kings and used, and it was adopted by Christianity and became a symbol of Christianity, etc. But the Fleur de Lis as a symbol goes all the way back to the Chaldeans. It may even go back further, but that's where I know of it, where it came from. And the fleur-de-lis was a symbol that was awarded to men and women by their tribes. And the fleur-de-lis became a symbol of commanded in life, commanding one's life, self, soul, family, okay? Self, soul, and family. Get that? And when they had reached that level of maturity, they were given this, and it was something that they could wear, and everyone knew that they were an elder, what we call elders now, that they had reached a certain level. And it's been changed and altered, et cetera, down through the ages, to what it is now, but that is not what it meant at all originally. It originally meant commanded in life, command of life. Of someone has reached a level of maturity, of authority, that they need to be heard from. Okay?
So.
And again, that keeps it present. That keeps it now, you know. That keeps it present, because this is where the work needs to be done, to quote Phaseas.
So we need to watch out for fleur-de-lises in our lives.
Aspire to it, you know, aspire to it. You know, rise to the challenge, engage the higher frequencies, the light, engage the light. You know, this isn't complicated. We make it complicated, but I don't think it is. I don't think it was meant to be complicated. At least not on our end, because we're pretty simple. So, folks, I'm out of time. I absolutely love you. Thank you so much for your support and your help. I couldn't do this without you. And, you know, I hope you continue to support and you find some value in this. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this. We are. There are going to be some bumps in the road, but we'll all take them together. Okay? So, from Colorado, love you. Take care.